From WRKF 89.3 HD in Baton Rouge, this is Insight. I'm Amy Jeffries. Congress heads back to Washington on Monday. Freshman House member Garrett Graves has been home here in the 6th District during the Easter recess. Thanks for stopping by during your first long break to talk about what's been happening on Capitol Hill.
Hey, thank you very much. Good to be here.
One of the very first votes that came up was on the Keystone XL. Was that your very first vote, Keystone XL?
It wasn't our first vote, but it was our first big vote, without a doubt, yeah.
And you voted yes in favor of approving the pipeline, and President Obama, of course, promptly vetoed it with very little fanfare.
You know, Amy, it's kind of fascinating. You have folks up there saying that they're opposing the Keystone pipeline because they're concerned about oil spills, which sounds like it, you know, has merit. Actually, when you look behind it, though, transporting oil by pipeline is actually the safest way to transport. It's safer than rail, safer than barge, and we've had accidents in both those categories recently.
Is the thinking that should Keystone be approved, that would be a green light for more pipeline development? Would it be sort of a vote of encouragement for the energy industry domestically?
I think that's exactly the way it's being viewed. And the Keystone Pipeline has become somewhat the modern day ANWR. You may recall efforts to pursue drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And that became sort of the poster child for the environmental community. And I think the Keystone bill has become the modern day poster child. And in fact, you know, during the debate, one of the things that was alleged was that by approving the pipeline, you're going to actually encourage more use of conventional oil and gas, and that's not the case. What could change is the safety of that use of oil and gas and the transportation of that oil and gas.
So do you see the possibility then of some sort of compromise that might build in approval for this pipeline and also for accountability measures, safety measures?
Because this has become so much of a poster child as opposed to the actual merit of the project, no. I think this administration has largely backed themselves in a corner.
Investments in transportation infrastructure were among the priorities that you campaigned on, and now you're actually on the House committee that deals with that. Back during the campaign when we spoke, you told me that you would be looking for some revenue-neutral ideas for how to make the Highway Trust Fund solvent. Is this idea of doing away with the requirement that the 20% of gas taxes go to transit projects, is that an idea that's floats to the top?
You know, the question that I'm asking on transit is, if you have an artificial 20% of Highway Trust Fund dollars that are required to go to transit projects, does that really make sense? You know, and Amy, in some cases, it may need to be 25%, but in other cases, it may need to be 5%. And so what we should be doing is we should be making projects rise to the top based on merit. Now, someone gave me this statistic the other day, and I want to be clear that I've not gone back and independently verified this, but I've been told that there are 6 transit systems in the nation that get over half of the transit dollars. And, you know, I got to tell you, I kind of have some major concerns with subsidizing a transit system in New York City, subsidizing a transit system in Washington, D.C., subsidizing a transit system in Atlanta or L.A. and Chicago or wherever else these top 6 systems are with tax dollars that are coming from Louisiana.
What if more of that, of those transit funds got to Louisiana? What if we got our fair share? What would that look like?
Well, first of all, some of the key things we should be looking at is level of service and efficiency. You know, I said this in the committee several weeks ago, and I'll say it again now. I live in the Garden District. I watch the trolleys, which, look, I love the idea of the trolley service, but if no one's utilizing it and I'm seeing empty trolleys, which I've seen every single trolley pass totally empty, that's not efficient. It's not helping the environment. It's not reducing exhaust emissions. It's not reducing traffic. You know, that's a distorted priority in my mind. And if we can take those dollars and invest it in congestion relief and getting vehicles more efficiently moving on the roadways, that seems like it's a higher priority investment.
Do we need some carpool lanes on I-10?
You know, look, I think that the potential for doing multi-directional lanes and HOV lanes and things like that are things that also should be on the table, and our state Department of Transportation and Capital Area Planning Region should be looking at all of those options.
Of course, the Israeli Prime Minister came to speak to Congress. I understand that you attended his speech. First of all, what did you make of the invitation and the concerns over the way that it was extended? And what did you think about what he had to say?
You know, on the invitation issue, if Congress wants to extend an invitation to a foreign leader, that's Congress's prerogative. There should be a courtesy indication to the White House, and they should be made aware of the situation, of the invitation. Secondly, Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech was really nothing short of amazing. Prime Minister Netanyahu was able to clearly articulate the fact that Iran is an unstable regime, and with their historic and current efforts to cause instability in the region, giving them nuclear weapons is incredibly dangerous in the near term and certainly in the long term.
It doesn't seem like that weapons are really on the table. That's something that the United States would allow.
If they're able to acquire the technology or purify the materials in a way to where it's weapons grade, you know, the delivery system is in effect a rounding error, and in many cases, you know, it's merely putting the two together, which is not the complicated part.
Congressman Garrett Graves is the representative for the 6th District in Louisiana. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
No, you bet. Good to see you again. Thank you.
I'm Amy Jeffries, and this is WRKF.